Hello, my little ice cream sandwiches. Welcome back to episode 2 of Mama Needs a Monster. Or I should say welcome to episode 2 because this is the beginning. But today, I'm going to tell you the truth about what it's like to be a mom. It starts off kind of deep with pros and cons, but, you know, stay till the end because I have some funny stories I'm going to tell you. And I will see you at the end. Is it just me, or everybody I feel like goes through this time, like when they're a teenager or a teenager or whatever, you can just kind of navigate the world around you and figure out who you are as a person. And if you don't, by the time you're an adult, you pretty much know who you are and know what you want to do with your life. Some people. I didn't. I still don't. But I pretty much thought I had myself figured out at least who I was. And then, if you're a parent, you probably, I don't know if you relate to me, you like, the minute you find out that you're having a baby, it like changes, everything changes, and everything, things that you do like on a daily basis, like all of a sudden you can't do anymore, you can't eat certain things, you can't say certain things, you can't dress a certain way, because your body changes, you're taking care of another human. Like, and then the kid is born, and I mean, you, everything just changes even more. And then it's like, am I still the same person or not? Am I still allowed to like the same stuff that I did? Or because I'm a mom now, am I supposed to be like, you look in the mirror and you're like, who is this bitch? I don't know. I thought my whole life, like, I loved horror movies. I love rock music. I curse a lot. Everything. And then I have kids and all of a sudden, I don't know. I feel like I'm being pressured into, like, not liking those things because, you know, you're a mom now. You can't do that, say that, wear that, whatever, you know? I don't know. I feel like this may be a little deep for this, but like, I'm still trying to figure my own shit out, and I haven't yet. And I don't know why it bothers me so much, because I know it probably shouldn't. But you see everywhere, like, And of course, all of this is probably fake too, like on social media, like Facebook, Instagram, everything. Everybody knows their shit and who they are and has their shit together, except for me, I feel like. And it's weird because you not only have to like totally reevaluate your identity and your relationship with yourself, you have to now reevaluate and reassess relationships with everybody around you. Like, as soon as you become a parent, if you're the first, I'm just going to warn you now, if you're the first person in your friend group to become a parent, unless your friends are really good, really tight-knit, close friends, as soon as you have kids, like, they just drop off like flies, kind of, I feel like, especially if you're the mom, like, you, I don't know what it is, but it happens, and you reevaluate family members, and who else you're in, like, co-workers, whoever, your relationships with everyone changes, especially like your spouse or your partner or baby daddy, baby mama, even if you're not together, like your relationship with them will definitely change. And it's like so many people you will either cut them out of your life or just they will leave willingly. I don't know what it is about once you have a kid, but like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like because once you have a kid, you grow up or change so quickly, and a lot of people you're around wind up not doing that, hence why you get so isolated and how many relationships end due to this, because there's a lot of people who have just either dropped off like flies or I've cut out. Your looks will change too. Like, I mean, there are some ladies who can find the time and energy to get up in the morning, do makeup, work out, do all that crap. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they have the energy. Literally from running behind my kids, having to clean up after them, having to play with them, having to take care of them all day. And then also for my third giant baby, my husband having to do that for him during the day. We usually don't go anywhere because we only have one car right now. And so we usually don't go anywhere. So I just don't get dressed. If I do, it's like leggings, yoga pants, old band t-shirts that are basically falling apart and have holes and crap in them because I'm just too freaking tired to put that much effort into it. Unless I'm going somewhere, I almost never wear makeup. I used to do a lot of makeup videos on my YouTube channel and like outfit videos, and it's like I just don't care anymore. Like, I don't know. I don't know. And I feel like there's a lot of other people who kind of go that route too once they have kids. Like, everything changes. Another thing that people do that you don't really realize until it happens is once you have a baby, it's kind of not about you anymore, which it shouldn't be. It really shouldn't. But this is also something I've noticed is once you have a baby, people, they don't ask about you anymore. It's all about, like, they want to talk to you about your baby. They want to ask about your baby. They always ask, how's your baby doing? It's very seldom or not very often, unless you have, like I said, a very close friend, that they're going to ask how you are doing or whatever. And I don't think they mean to do it. I don't think it's like intentionally forgetting about you. I really don't. I think it's just when there's a new baby, everybody's so excited about the baby, they just think about the baby when they see you because you just had a baby. So they ask about your baby instead of you. Without thinking like, oh, like, is she okay? How is she? Like, how are you? Like, they don't think about it, so they just ask, how is the baby? And like, don't get me wrong, there's like a lot of positive things that come out of having kids too, like relationships. And so just come at those, I'll go back to those. You will get a lot closer with some people too. Like, there's a lot of people who will move away from you once you have kids. Fine, whatever. But there's a lot of people who will get a lot closer with you, whether that is your baby mama, baby daddy, spouse, new boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever. Or your family, like your aunts, uncles, grandparents, mom, dad, whoever, siblings, whoever it is. Even some friends, like, will get a lot closer to you, which is good because parenting is hard as fuck and you need a good support system. Like, you need a good support system, whoever you are, anyways. Being a parent is fucking hard. And another positive thing is once you have a kid, you have like a built-in kind of mini best friend. It's like basically having a drunk, broke best friend that you get to take everywhere with you and super fucking adorable. And people will talk to you and ask you questions. I mean, it's kind of weird, but also kind of cool. Another cool thing that you get to do when you have kids, you get to do, like, when you take your kids' places, you get to go do all the fun kid stuff and you're not looked at like a weirdo because you're doing it with your kid. Like, trick-or-treating, I got to go trick-or-treating the last 3 years because I've had my kids, and so I get to go trick-or-treating too. I always take an extra bag for myself. Well, this year I didn't. This year I kind of just took a candy tax because, like, you know, priorities. Or, like, if you go to, like, Disneyland, you get to ride all the fun, like, little kid rides, and you have an excuse because you have your kids. And now to really lighten the mood, let's get into funny things my kids have said to me over their short little lives so far. So my kids also love to wear my clothes and my shoes and Aaron's clothes and shoes. And the other day I was letting Lexi wear my sweaters because I love sweaters. I have a bunch of sweaters and like cardigans and stuff. And she put it on and she looks at me and goes, "Mom, I love this sweater." And I said, "I love it too," because it's this one pink Abercrombie sweater I have and it's so fluffy and fuzzy and warm. And she looks at me and goes, "Yeah, Mom, this is a sweater for an ugly person." So I guess that means I'm ugly. So if you don't know, kids love to be outside and There have been times, and this is for Lex, this has actually been a multiple occurrence, but this one time stands out because it was the first and funniest time she's ever said this. We took her to the park, and my daughter likes to collect sticks and rocks sometimes when we're out. And there was one day we took her to the park, and she found a stick, and she was like, that stick was going everywhere she went on the playground, everywhere she went. And she loved that stick so much, she eventually decided, we're gonna bring it home with us, Mom. We're bringing it home. So we go to put her in the car, and as we're putting her in the car, you know how sometimes kids will, like, not right at first want to go in the car seat, so they'll kind of struggle against you a little bit while you're trying to put them in. She was doing this day, and she broke her stick, and out of nowhere, she started yelling, my dick! No, my dick! I broke my dick! Because she could not pronounce the word. It was the funniest fucking thing. And she was yelling quite loudly about how she broke her dick. So there was one day where I was trying to tell my daughter the difference between boys and girls because she was asking questions, and I finally get to the end, and so I start pointing out examples. I pointed to myself and I said, I'm a, and she said, you're a, and I said, I'm a woman. And she said, you're a woman. And I pointed at her and I said, you are. And she said, I'm a woman. And I pointed at Max and she said, he's a woman. And I said, no, Max is a boy. And I'm dying laughing, trying to explain, like, no, like, there's a difference. Like, sometimes people are girls, sometimes people are boys. And I said, Dad is a. And she said, Max is a woman. Dad is a woman. You're a woman. I'm a woman. And I started laughing. And we're still working on that because she still asks questions, but I just thought it was hilarious that she thinks everybody's a woman. Everyone we meet, I guess, is just a woman. So, congratulations. If you have a penis, you are now a woman, according to Lex. So, my son's name is Maximus, but we always call him Max. And the other day, we were sitting on the couch, and he looks at me and goes, Mom, what's your name? So, I told him my name, which is Shelby, and then I said, what's your name? And he looks at me, and the first thing he says is, Alexia. And I had to correct him and be like, no, son, that's your sister. Like, what's your name? And then he looks at me, thinking for a second, and then he said, my name is Mickey Mouse, because he can't pronounce Maximus. So if you ever ask my son his name, he's going to tell you it's Mickey Mouse. So I have an uncle. His name is Uncle Woody. And Max has had many conversations with me about how when we go to visit my family or he wants to see people, he always says, I want my Uncle Woody. Okay, this is the thing. I'm pretty sure Max loves Uncle Woody, but every time we see Uncle Woody, Max freaks out. He cries, he screams, doesn't want to be in the same room as Uncle Woody. And to add to said Uncle Woodiness, we have Toy Story and we've been watching Toy Story, and I'm pretty sure Max thinks that Cowboy Woody on Toy Story is Uncle Woody. Because every time I say we're gonna go see Uncle Woody now, he says, it's Cowboy Woody. So, congratulations, Uncle Woody. You now have a new job. You are Cowboy Woody. All right, and now I'm gonna tell you my birth stories because we always try to end this in a little bit of a story time, and this episode's gonna be a little long if I keep going with all the funny shit my kids say. So here we go. Warning, if you do not like talks about vaginas and penises and contractions and giving birth, this segment is not for you. Feel free to click out now. Goodbye. All right, so with Lex, she pretty much was my first baby, and a little bit of backstory on my pregnancy. I was sick for a few times, just like very few times. And so morning sickness really wasn't that bad. It's like I would throw up the one time, the few times I was sick in the mornings or at all, I would throw up the one time and it would be done. That would be it. And it was usually in the mornings, right when I woke up. And I could smell way stronger. And even good smells sometimes smelled bad. So I guess that's a pregnancy or mom superpower because I still can kind of do that even after not being pregnant for years now. But yeah, other than that, pregnancy was pretty easy, like physically. Towards the end, I got uncomfortable and tired, and that's normal. But yeah, other than that, pregnancy was pretty easy. And so we get to the end, and I'm at the doctor, and they tell me, you know, your doctor's on vacation, so we're gonna have a different doctor check you, a different OB check you. So with a different doctor, he comes in, and I will say I wound up liking this doctor more than I liked my regular doctor that I usually saw, but it is what it is. Doctor comes in, it's literally the day before my due date, and he basically tells me, you know, hey, if your baby doesn't come by tomorrow, I think we should induce you, which I was really glad. I really wanted to do that because I was tired of being pregnant. I was sick of being pregnant. You're pregnant for almost a whole year. It's, you know, you get sick of it. Anyways, so I was just like, yeah, I'm down. Like, let's do it. Anyways, he says, to be able to do that though, because if you go into labor anytime before that, or you come to the hospital anytime before that, since your doctor's on vacation, I'm going to be the doctor. But because I'm not your doctor, we have to ask your doctor for permission. Long story short, my doctor said no. Do not induce her. Anyways, so we go about having our little Christmas Eve, because it was either Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, or the day after, I don't know. But we go about our little Christmas stuff, because I had Christmas Eve with my family that year. My mom and my sister just came up and opened gifts with me and Aaron and had Chinese food and watched Home Alone. But anyways, we do that. Literally the next day, I get up and everything is normal, everything is fine. Out of nowhere, I go to the bathroom, but every time I take a step, I'm like leaking fluids. And so I'm like, okay, this isn't good. Like, should we go to the doctor? So we go. They check me and they say, well, you're not really having contractions, you're not really in labor, but you have a high leak. And for those of you who don't know, a high leak is basically there is a hole somewhere in the baby sack and stuff is coming out. That's what a high leak is. So they said, because you have a hole in your sack and technically your water is broken, it's just like a small hole though, we can't send you home because of risk of infection. So I was just like, cool, like, I'm good with that. I don't want to go home now that I'm here. Like, so time progresses and they start telling me, like, you are having contractions now and like you are in labor now, but nothing is happening. Like, you're not dilating, you're not doing any of that, so we have to give you medication. And let me tell you, when they give you medication, this is just something I've heard and I feel like it's true because it made everything so much more painful, but they say that it makes everything more painful, but it made everything so much more painful. And we had one nurse there who was really great. I loved her, but she was like the head nurse, so she was having to go between everybody. So when they would send people in to check on me, it wasn't always the same person. And this started irritating me because every time people would come in, or every time a nurse would come in, or a CNA or whoever to check on me, I basically, she told me, hey, we're going to get you up and let you walk around if you'd like to do that. And I was like, yes, let's do that. And she said, okay, I'll do that in a minute. I have to go check on someone else and I'll be right back. Well, an hour goes by, nobody comes back. So I rang up there, they send someone in, and I tell them, and they were like, oh no, you can't do that. And I was just like, but she said I could, and they were like, no. And so I was just like, okay. And then they told me, well, we can put you in the tub. And I was just like, yes, let's put me in the tub. And they told me, well, we gotta go check on someone else. We'll be back in a minute. So another hour goes by, nobody comes back. So I have to ring them and I tell them, oh, like, I was gonna be put in the tub or walk around, but nobody came back to help me do that. And they were like, oh no, we can get you to walk around, we just need to go check on someone, give me a minute. You guessed it. More time goes by and nobody comes back. So I ring up there, they come back, and I'm pretty sure at this point they were getting annoyed by me because every time they sent someone in, it was like a different person. And finally I did just give up, but every time I would ring, it would be a different person with a different answer. And they always would, well, you have to check on someone, we'll be right back. So At one point, I was in so much pain, and I'm like screaming at these poor nurses. I'm like yelling at them, and I'm sure I cussed at them too. I don't remember because I was in a lot of pain. But if you were my nurse that night, I'm very sorry. But yeah, it was just frustrating to me that every time I would ask for something, they would tell me I could do something, and then I would ask, and then they would tell me, "Oh, I'll be right back," and then it would be like a different person that came back, and they would have a different answer. So finally everything progresses, and basically we get to the point where I'm like, it's shift change. And this, by the way, is a couple hours before I'm pushing. It's shift change. We get shifted over to a new nurse who, I mean, I think she pretty much, from the way she acted and the way she was treating me, I think she pretty much had heard like I'd been annoying or something, because she did not seem very happy or like she even wanted to be in the room with me. Of course, I was in a lot of pain, so I was also yelling a lot, saying a lot of curse words, asking for drugs even though I knew I couldn't have any more. Like it was bad, guys. Like it was bad. Anyways, finally time comes to start pushing, and I'm pushing, and then everybody is like touching me, which makes me so upset. And I'm like, if I'm gonna do this, don't touch me, don't look at me, like just don't, because it's making me upset and I don't want to do it in front of people. Turn around. And yeah, I even at one point just yelled at everyone, "Everyone, stop fucking touching me." And my doctor looks at me and goes, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but like I have to touch you." And I was just like, "Not you, but like everyone else, don't fucking touch me." And yeah, it's just whatever position I got in to get comfortable, she would tell me like, "Oh, you can't do it like this or that." And I'm like, "Lady, like I'm just trying to get fucking comfortable. Like I'm having a baby here. Like you don't understand how much pain I'm in, blah blah blah." And I'm like trying to tell her like all this shit. And eventually baby does come out. It takes a little while. Baby got stuck for a minute and then came out. And I at one point had asked them for a C-section. So when they told me that I needed to push harder because they thought the baby was going to get stuck, I just started like crying, because I was like, "I told you to give me a C-section." Looking back though, like I'm really glad they did not. Like, oh man, I'm so glad they didn't. And yeah, and then after some pushing and everything, and out pops Lex. And while I was pushing, I was in so much pain, and while I was going through that, I was in so much pain, I kept yelling at Aaron, like, "This is your fault, and we're never doing this again." So, and then she came out, and I don't know what it is. Now, with Max, this story is much, much shorter, and a lot less frustrating and a lot less irritating. I had a different OB this time. Needless to say, there were some issues, but they were like paperwork and like other issues like that. Personality wise and everything, I did like this doctor a lot more. I felt like I got along with him a lot more. Oh yeah, all until like right at the end, which I'll explain later. I had all male doctors up to this point, including the one that like was my substitute doctor. But yeah, so this day I wake up, my son was a week late, and I'm telling everybody, "Hey, like he's coming today." And everybody's telling me like, no, like not yet, like they won't let you go over 2 weeks, but they not yet. And they hadn't scheduled me to be induced, because he was born on the 12th, they scheduled me to be induced on the 15th, because I say he's a week late because I got two different due dates from this doctor. First I got the 5th, and that was at one visit, and then I got the 15th, which was at a different visit, and then I got the 5th again at another visit, so that's why I say he was a week late. But he was scheduled to be like induced on the 15th, because they didn't have like a set due date. So every time he would come in, he would ask me like, "What's your actual due date? Like, is it the 5th or the 15th?" And I'm like, "I don't know, you're the doctor. Isn't that what you're supposed to tell me?" Like, anyways, that being said, I'm in there and I'm telling everybody when I woke up, like, we went the flea market, we walked around, we did all kind of stuff, and Lex had went to stay at my mom's, because I was thinking, I'm going to go into labor in the next couple days. No, she was there for 10 days. She left a couple days before my due date, and then he didn't come until legit 7 days after that, so, wow, it was crazy. Anyways, so I'm telling everybody, like, we're sitting at the flea market, and this is the thing, I could feel the contractions, but they weren't painful, but, like, I could feel them, like, you feel them, like, even when they're not painful, like, you can feel the tightening, like, as weird as that sounds, you can feel the tightening sensation in your gut, and, so I'm telling Aaron, like, it's gonna be today, like, I'm having contractions, I'm timing them, they're a couple minutes apart, like, he's coming today. And Aaron is like, no, they don't hurt. Those are just like Braxton Hicks, like, it's not them. And after a while, I pretended that they hurt. So Aaron was like, whatever, like, I'll just take you to the hospital. So we get there, and at the hospital, they check me and everything, and they basically told me, well, you're 4, but your contractions don't hurt and this and that, and you've probably been a 4 walking around like that for weeks. By the way, you know you can walk around for like weeks, sometimes even being like 5 or 6 centimeters dilated and nothing will happen. Seriously, that's so weird. But anyways, they told me, yeah, you've probably been this way for a while, like, nothing's happening. If nothing happens in the next hour, we're gonna send you home. So I'm like, okay. So they told me, well, to help kind of get things going, you can go walk around. And I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be just like last time. But no, they did let me go walk around. Aaron and I just walked around the grounds of the hospital, inside, outside, in the parking lot, everywhere we could walk around, we did. And then I go back up there, and they check me, and they're like, you're 5, but it's, like, still not really that bad of contractions. Like, you should go walk around some more. So I go and I walk around for another hour, do everything, and I come back, and this time the contractions really are starting to hurt, and they really are starting to be bad, and they check me, and they're like, well, you're 6, but still your contractions aren't that bad, so we might send you home. Let us call your doctor, though, and check. So they called the doctor, and the doctor pretty much told them, no, if she's 6 and she's having, like, bad contractions, just, like, keep her there. Like, don't do anything. So, I'm staying, and we're waiting a while, because we had to sit in the triage room for a while I was in labor and just, like, hang out, because all their rooms were full, and they were working on discharging a woman in the room next to the triage room. So they said as soon as she's fully discharged and she leaves, like, we'll have someone go in there and clean up and you can move. Well, after about an hour, that happens, and they move me to the other room, and literally by the time I get in there, I'm 7, and they tell me you can sit in the bath, and they do let me sit in the bath for a while, but they just told me, like, if it feels like he's coming out, like, or something is happening, like, you need to get out. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I may not have even been in there in 5 minutes, and I could just, like, feel the pressure, you know what I mean? Like, the pressure, like, if you have kids, you'll know what I'm talking about, but, like, I was just like, guys, I need to get out. So I get out, and they check me, and they're like, okay, you're 9, like, if we just break your water right now, he'll literally just, like, come right out. So I was just like, okay. So I lay there, and I'm in the bed, obviously I'm in pain at this point, a lot of pain, and I'm yelling, and they pretty much told me, like, hey, like, sorry to tell you, like, if you want medication at this point, too late, like, because after 8 centimeters you can't have any more medications. And I was just like, it's fine, I don't even want the medication. So I'm doing my little breathings and my little, all right, my little ice cream sandwiches. Take it from me, the mama who needs a monster, motherhood is not easy, but it certainly is fun. You will never love anyone the way that you love your kids, just letting you know that now. And everything, honestly, even the bad parts, are going to be worth it in the end. So, this being said, I will see you guys later. And if no one's told you today, I love you, and you're amazing, and you're beautiful, and I will buy you tacos and touch your butt. Bye!